Title of today's sermon is Be a Fruitful Believer. Can we say that together? Be a Fruitful Believer. Now I want to open your Bible to Mark chapter 4. And because we have a short time today, I'm just going to be very focused on some few things I want to really expand in your heart. I want you to see it. I want you to get it. Because once you get it, once you can see, and I'm talking about the ability to see with your inner eyes, once you can see it, it will make a big difference. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. And I want someone to read for me verse 13 to 20. Mark 4, 13 to 20. New King James Version and New Living Translation. Who is ready? Mark 4, 13 to 20. Yes.
I've got the NLT.
Yes. So that's New Living Translation. And then later we have New King James. Mark 4, 13 to 20. Yes, go for it, please.
Oh, my app's playing up now.
Okay. Mark chapter 4, verse 13 to 20. Who's ready? Mark 4, 13, 20, New King James or New Living?
New King James.
Yeah, go for it.
And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Amen. Now the question is this. What is God's goal? Every time you hear God's word, yeah? What is God's goal of giving you his word, according to this parable, what we just read? So every time the word of God is sown into your heart, what is God's expectation of that word from you?
For it to be fruitful.
For it to be fruitful, for it to bear fruit. Yeah? Well, every time you hear the word of God, the ultimate purpose of hearing that word of God is that it should produce fruit in your life. Amen? Every time you hear the word of God, God's expectation is that that word you heard should produce what? Fruit in your life. Amen. Now, next question quickly before I come back to that. What is fruit? What is the fruit of the word? You say, if I hear the word of God and, you know, God expects to produce fruit, what is that fruit? What is the fruit of the word? So if you receive the word of God, what is the fruit it should produce? Yes. It's simple. Just find a way to understand it. Yes. Any answers? Yes, love. We know that love is the fruit of the spirit. Yes, that's the fruit of the spirit. But right now, that's the correct answer. But I want to just be more specific. So you hear a word of God. You hear something from the word of God. Yeah? What's the fruit that word should produce? Okay, you know what? I'm going to help you. Open your Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Yes? James 1, 22 to 25. Quickly, I need... Fast, quick response because of time today. James 1, 22, 25. Who is ready? Thank you. James 1, 22, 25. Please listen.
New King James Version.
Yes.
But be doers of the word.
Be doers of the word. Continue.
And not hearers only.
And not just hearing.
Deceiving yourselves.
Deceiving yourselves. So if we stop there, I'll come back to that. Just to understand that when you hear the word of God, the ultimate fruit of that word is that you do it or you put it into practice. Amen. The fruit is you will bear fruit of the word by putting it into practice. It is by putting that word you heard into practice that you produce fruit. If you don't put that word you heard into practice, it will not produce fruit. Please continue.
For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was.
He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what they look like. Have you ever tried that? You went to the mirror, you saw yourself in the mirror, and then when you walked away, you forgot. What did I look like again? You go back. Then you forgot. Amen? Please continue.
But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Amen. That's where the blessing comes. The blessing comes not just in looking into the word, not just in hearing the word, but in what? In doing. Then you'll be blessed indeed, because you will produce the result that that word should produce in your life. Amen. Now let's go back to the parable of the sower. So now we know the fruit. Yeah? There are four cases in this parable. There was one that the sower sowed the seed. And by the way, in this part of the world, sowing the seed is like you've cultivated the ground, you just scatter your seed. Yeah? You just throw it. And that's the way the word of God comes, really. The word of God comes like that. Yeah? It comes to you. You can take it or leave it. It comes. It's free. Amen? You don't pay. Amen? You don't pay to hear the word of God. It's what? It's free. Hallelujah. The gospel is what? Free. Hallelujah. It cost Jesus his life, but it comes to you free. But after you receive it, it will cost you your life too. Well, the Bible says that he that will save his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake will save it. But you know why it will cost your life? Because it's the greatest treasure of all. But I said, the kingdom of God is like someone who found treasure in a field. And so every other thing he had, because he's found this treasure, the greatest treasure of all. Amen. Is treasure worth selling every other thing for? Because it's the greatest treasure of all. Amen. So there are four cases of people who receive the word of God, and at one point or the other in your journey, you fall into that one of them. Some people are permanently in one category. Some people are just moving from category 1 to category 2 to category 3 to category 4 and always changing. But we should analyze ourselves and check where we are in our journey today and where we want to be. First case, this seed falls on the wayside. Okay? The wayside is completely hard ground. That seed is not penetrating anywhere. Yeah? And what happens? The birds. Yeah? They came. And the what? They ate it all up. Okay? So, what is the interpretation? The interpretation is that you are hearing the word of God. Sometimes, yeah, you're in this category whereby there are people in your life who love God. They come to church. You come to church with them. You hear the word of God. Amen? But your attention is not there. Yeah? God is moving in the life of people around you, but it's passing you by because your attention is not there. Your dad is a pastor. And I'm not talking to you, by the way. You know? You have to go to church whether you like it or not. So you come. But your attention is not there. So they heard the word, but that word is not penetrating. And the Bible says that Satan comes. You see, there's a thing. You have to understand that Satan has a ministry. Satan does not have rest. Yeah? Satan does not have rest. He's going to and fro, looking for whom to what? Devour. No rest. No rest. Hallelujah. But thank God, because when you come to Christ, he will give you rest. Amen? He will give you rest. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So he comes. Satan is contending for the word of God. He doesn't want the word of God to even penetrate your heart at all. Hallelujah. So if you are wasting time, he will pick it up and eat it. Hallelujah. You know, Satan is like an infinite sink. You know the sink? He's just eating everything. Gives nothing, just sink it up. Hallelujah. Some people feel that, you know what? You know, they're doing God a favor, you know, by listen to his word. No. It's for your benefit. Hallelujah. It's for what? Your benefit. God is already complete. Amen? When God, every time God gives, releases word to you, he's trying to bless you. Hallelujah. And blessing is not just money or riches. In fact, that's the littlest of them. When you think about, when you look at with spiritual eyes, the greatest blessing that God can give you is to transform you. Hallelujah. From the inside out. When you are transformed, you become rock solid in the fruit of the Spirit. You become established in love, in joy, in peace. When you see, when you are established in joy and peace, depression cannot overtake you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You become established in patience. There are some situations in life that you won't overcome it through patience. If you try to rush it, you will mess it up. Hallelujah. You become established in kindness. Hallelujah. You become established in goodness, moral integrity. There are believers today that don't have any integrity. Yeah, they call upon the name of the Lord, but they go out there and they mess up. Hallelujah. But when God transforms you, you will have integrity. Hallelujah. You'll be faithful and you'll be true. You'll be honest because you want to be honest. Amen. So I'm supposed to say, you know, to be honest. What do you mean to be honest? I'm always honest. Amen? Because I want to be honest. My honesty is not selective. Amen? It's characteristic. So throw that one from your vocabulary. Don't say to be honest. Because you're always what? Honest. Bible says, let your yes be yes. And your no be what?
No.
So when you are transformed, you become... There's something called meekness. Amen? Hallelujah? Meekness. You have, but you're not showing off. Amen? Hallelujah? You can be talked to. You can be corrected. Amen? It's meekness. Hallelujah? And ultimately, when you're transformed inside, you have self-control. Amen?
Okay.
You're able to control yourself. You will not be out of control. Mm-hmm. Amen? That's the biggest work that God can do in your life. It will change you. You become a different person. Hallelujah. And you become someone who can see beyond just the temporary. You can see the things of eternal value. And you go for things of eternal value. And that's when you have that of transformation, even when things outside change and things are not hardening up, you are not shaken. Because you're not building your life on those things. Everybody wants good things and I want good things. You understand? But even when times are not good, amen, you will not be shaken because you are building on solid rock, things of eternal value. Hallelujah. The bigger test of your faith will come in perseverance. The biggest test of your faith is not your ability to name it and claim it. The bigger test of your faith is not the ability to set a goal and achieve it. The biggest of your faith is your ability to persevere and stay in the right place that God has told you to be until you see the result that God has said you will get. And the devil will contend for that. The devil will what? Contend because your destiny is connected to it. Hallelujah. So, if you are not even paying attention at all to the word, yeah, you are not paying attention to what God has to say. It's a very hopeless situation. Satan already has the hang of your life. Hallelujah. Satan has the hang because there's no attention. So, what's the solution here? You have to give attention. Hallelujah. I mean, if you're in that category one, stage one, you have to what? Give attention. Keep your attention. He said, my son, give attention to my word. Is your gift back to God. Amen? So give him your attention. Hallelujah. When you give God attention, it shows that you recognize his priority in your life. You recognize that God has something to say. And that makes a difference in my life. Amen? Give God your attention. Are you with me? Let me tell you the reverse of that. The reverse of that is that necessarily, if you're going to give God your attention, you're going to cut some distractions away. Because the distractions are competing for your attention. Some things are worth throwing away. You know, the Bible says if your right hand offend you, what do you do? I'm not talking about your right hand. I'm talking about that thing that looks like you can't do without. That's your right hand. It's your right hand man or right hand woman. Yeah? It's your handbag. It's kind of about. That is the one that is stealing your attention. It could be whatever or whoever. Yeah? If you are wise enough to have identified that this thing is what is hindering me from giving my attention to God, it's time to ditch it. Amen? Case two. Yeah? Now, you will see that as we move in power of the sower, every next case, I saw the problem of the first case. In the first case, it was not paying attention, so what did not penetrate, Satan steals it. In case two, he paid attention. Amen? He heard the word of God and he received it with gladness. Is that not attention? Amen? He heard it and received it with gladness. That's attention. So it's a different type of problem here. Yeah? What happened? But it was stony ground. That is, the word penetrated, but it did not go. It did not have root in itself. Yeah? Then what happened? What happened? Tell me quickly. First of all, it sprung up. You know? It sprung up. That is gladness. It's happy. Oh, do you know what they taught us in church today? It was revelation. I just caught revelation today. A great revelation. It was awesome preaching. You need to listen to that message. It was awesome. Amen? Since day two. But what happened? What happened? Interpretation, what happened? When persecution or tribulation arose because of the word, what happened? He stumbled because they did not have roots. Let me talk about this. This is a key part of my message. The word of God you have received will be tested. Amen. The proof of your faith is how it stands in the midst of trial and temptation and tribulation and disappointment. Amen. It's easy to hold on to the word of God when everything is rosy. You know rosy? Like my sister's flower. Amen? You're still loving this word. Are you still loving this word? Yes, because it's rosy. But when things change, when the tides change, that word will be tested. That's the real test of whether that word entered your heart. When the pressure comes, when the contrary, alternative comes, you have to choose. Hallelujah. I wrote something in my notes. Let me see if I can get it. I need to share that. Just bear with me. I wrote something I picked. Yeah. The depth. Okay, we'll come to that. So what's the problem here? The problem is that, you see, they love the word. The problem of this state too is that word did not go deep. Amen? If you're a shallow believer, you will not produce fruit. Because every time life pushes you, you will fumble. Because that word has not entered deep. Now, I kept meditating on it. What's the difference? You see, when you, it's not a law enough to love the word. Yeah? When you love the word, you are receiving it with gladness. Amen? And that's good. That's a starting point. Love the word of God. Recognize the value of the word. However, you need to reverence the word. Or I'm not what we're saying it is. You need to take it seriously. Hello? When you read the word of God, or when the word of God speaks, you take it seriously. Take it as though your life depended on it. Amen? It's like you're telling someone, you know what? Don't touch that broken cable. It has live electricity. It can kill you. You know, when you see some insurgent, they put danger. When you see danger, what do? you take it seriously. Amen? If you don't take the word of God seriously, when it is tested, you will fumble. You will ditch it. Because you just saw it as another pathway. And when things become difficult, you will not stay with it. You find an alternative. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the quote I wanted to quote to you is this. That the depth of your faith will be tested by the choices you make in your times of need. When you are in need, when you are in the crossroad, when you are under pressure, yeah? The choices you make is what tests the depth of your faith. Hallelujah. When your faith is deep, you will stay true to the values of God. You stay true to the call of God. You will stay true to what God has told you, what God is telling you. You will not compromise despite the fact that you are under pressure. Despite the fact that there seems to be a better alternative. Amen? That is the test of how deep your faith is. That's why you see that, you know, believers of old, they were willing to die for their faith. If they were not willing, Christianity would not come to us. Amen? You know, Christianity was not spread by conquest. It's not as though people fought a war and forced everybody to convert. That's not Christianity. Amen? That may be some other religion. Christianity is spread by preaching. Hallelujah? But then, when the Roman Empire rose up to wipe out all Christians, if they were not willing to die for their faith, they would have all compromised and capitulated, and the Christians will never get to you. Amen? Hallelujah? Now, I'm not saying that you need to die physically for your faith, but something in you needs to die for your faith. That thing that needs to die in you is what Satan is using to compromise you. Amen? If you are holding not tight, it could be a something or a person. It can even be a person in your life. If you don't, you're not willing to let go, yeah, of that thing, that material thing, or that offer, Satan will use it. It's Satan's inroad into compromising you. Amen? Case 3. And then we'll finish because time is up. Let me just do case 3. Allow me to do case 3. Now remember, case 2 solved the problem of case 1. He paid attention. The only problem was that it was not deep enough. They loved the word, but they did not take it seriously. They did not reverence the word. Now in case 3, they paid attention. They loved the word. They reverenced the word. To me, that is the most pathetic case. Case 3 is the most pathetic. Because someone has come to church. Imagine someone comes to church every Sunday. They are always listening to the sermon. They pay their tithe. Yeah? They come for Bible study. And prayer meeting. This case 3 is the most pathetic. They are doing all those things. Yeah? They are doing good works. What's the problem? They received the word. The word. They loved it, they referenced it, it entered deep. What was their problem? There was an alternative seed in their life. Mm-hmm. Amen? With one hand, they are following God with all their heart, but they never let go of the tongues. Amen? This is an alternative seed. They want to do both. Amen? They want to do what? Do both. They want all of Christ and all of the world. They don't want to miss out anywhere. Amen? Hallelujah. I said they are engaged in church. This is pathetic case. This may apply to you. They are engaged, but they are not let. They are allowing some alternative seed in their life. What is the alternative seed? Firstly, he said the cares of this world. It's a new living confused me. I used to think in my head the cares of this life. No, it's not the cares of this life. It's the cares of this world. There's a big difference. The natural things you need in your life, yeah? And not worldliness. Those are just your needs. You need food, you need clothing, you need shelter. They are basic needs. Amen? The cares of this world are worldly things. The things of the world. The things that appeal to unbelievers. Yeah? Shall I tell you some of them? Cares of this world. Selfish ambition. Another one. Fashion. Fashion is the care of what? This world. Amen? Selfish ambition is what? A care of what? This world. Fame is a care of what? This world. It's not a basic need. It's just not talking about your basic needs. It's talking about the things that are flashy in the world. Amen? The deceitfulness of riches. He said you cannot serve God and money. You can't serve money. No. You can't serve God and money. You can serve money. No, let me explain. Every time you try to serve God and money, there's only one person you are serving. And who is that? Money. That's the meaning of that scripture. Amen? You can try to serve God and money, but the person you will serve is money. Amen? So the love of money, it dominates them. But they still love God. It's just that they want to both. You know, willing to let go of one. You know, willing to trust God with that part. Then, the lust for other things. Amen? Let's rise up. Sometimes it's good. You know, time is not our enemy. God created time. Yeah? For people like us. So we can learn to control ourselves. When I say us, I mean you and me. Amen. You're stuck together today. I believe that God has spoken to you. You know, sometimes I realize that you don't say everything. You know why? If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. It will keep speaking even after this message. It will continue to, it will unpack what I've not said. Talk to God today because I know God has spoken to you. Our goal is that you should be fruitful. You want to be fruitful, a fruitful believer. And I started that way because you want the word of God that you're going to produce fruit in your life. You want to be a doer of what? Of the word. You want to put it into practice. When you are fruitful, you begin to become a good example, a good representative of Jesus. You are effective for him in the world. You will do the works of righteousness. God will be able to use you for his glory. Then also when you are fruitful, just by being fruitful, you'll be able to keep Satan under your feet. Because you're not leaving room for him to come in and compromise you. So pray and say, Lord, help me. I want to be that type of believer that hears the word, gives it attention, takes it seriously, and then the part of the case three is that you need consecration. Consecration is your ability to separate yourself from worldliness and materialism. Because it will choke that word. It will not allow it to bear fruit. That word will grow, yes, but it will choke it. Because that's just the nature of worldliness and materialism. Their goal is to choke the word. Pray and say, Lord, help me. I want your word to produce good fruit in my life. So, Lord, every thorn in me, thorn. Those thorns are what? The cares of this world. Worldliness. The deceitfulness of riches. Materialism. The lust for other things. Carnality. Lord, help me to uproot them. Thorns are not to be tolerated. They are to be uprooted. Pray for yourself. Say, Lord, show me any thorn I'm allowing in my life. Because that thorn is what's stopping the fruit. So that they will be uprooted. Hallelujah. It's a corruption. A thorn is a corruption of your faith in God. It will stop you from trusting God fully with your life and producing fruit. Help me, Lord, to uproot them. And finally, the final prayer is, Lord, help me to be fruitful. To produce the works of righteousness. To bear the fruit of the Spirit. To be well engaged and functioning in the church. To advance the kingdom of God. To use my gifts and talents to serve God, to be a good representative of Jesus Christ in this world, to be salt and light in my world, to be a mentor of other believers. You know, if you are fruitful, yeah, the people around you, including your children, you will bring them up in the way of the Lord. You will not cause them to stumble. Rather, you will cause them to know Christ better. Pray and say, Lord, help me to be that type of believer. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.